The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
It's hour number two, and we are glad you are here. Come on, 866-660-5759. It is a Wednesday. It is the 23rd day of September. My gosh, where is September going? The first presidential debate is Tuesday of next week. Early voting starts on October 13th. The election itself, November 3rd, just 41 days away. Lots of stuff going on in the news. Lots of comment flinging back and forth. Glad to take your calls. I got a lot of opinions I'm sharing, and I always enjoy when you share back at 866-660-5759. A little bit of breaking news out of Paris. Hey, what's a quick way to evacuate the Eiffel Tower? Bomb threat. I mean, how many people are in the Eiffel Tower at one time at 3 o'clock? Well, it's a little after three in the afternoon now. This is within the last hour. Tourists were evacuated after an anonymous caller told the police a bomb was inside the Eiffel Tower. The psychology of that, or of anything, called in to anywhere, a school, a monument, a this and that, whoever picks up the phone has an interesting decision to make. Do you dismiss it as the hoax that it almost certainly is? Or how'd you like to be the person who goes, yeah, bomb threat, and then something explodes? So you can't do that. There's no good choice. So the only other choice is to evacuate the Eiffel Tower, and that's exactly what they've done today. Citing unnamed police sources, French journalist Amari Bucco tweeted that a man shouted, Allahu Akbar, that's always good, and threatened to detonate a device to blow up everything shortly after 11 a.m. local time. Okay. Answer to the question, I don't know how many are in there at one shot, but the Eiffel Tower, which is now 131 years old, it's a remarkable thing, by the way, about 300 feet taller than the Washington Monument. But most of your observation stuff is lower than the tippy-top peak. It's an amazing thing. I will tell you, this is not your parents' Europe. It is not your grandparents' Europe. It is not. It's magnificent. I've told you, that Lisa and I thoroughly enjoyed various trips to Italy over the last dozen years or so, with a couple of side trips here and there. And since on one of our flights we did Air France, and we had like a 10-hour layover at Charles de Gaulle Airport. I said, sounds like enough time to hop a cab and go down and take a look at something. And she had never been to Paris. I'd been a couple of times back in high school with the French club and all that good stuff. And so we're all jet lagged to the max. And we go, let's go to the Eiffel Tower and, go hit a cafe or something. And we did. And the Eiffel Tower is fantastic. We didn't have time to go up the thing or anything like that, but you can stand there, take pictures of it. It's a remarkable, remarkable thing. But it was just, you had to walk through a minefield of panhandlers. And many of them sitting there with, it's funny, they sidle up close to you to hear what language you are speaking, and then go get and then dig through their index cards with a little message in that language of their panhandling request. It's like filling out the paperwork for panhandling at the Eiffel Tower. And let me tell you, if you ain't interested in giving, it can become a problem. And I don't mean you're going to be stabbed at the Eiffel Tower. But it means these folks often do not take no for an answer. And I remember that just reading some of the travel guides and stuff, because it had been probably 15 years since I'd been in Paris. They just said, do not even think about going to the Eiffel Tower and leaving a camera bag at your feet. I mean, if you've got to take a picture of your wife or your kids or something like that, you take a little camera out of a camera bag, lay that at your feet, but even between your feet, in order to take a picture. No. And front wallet at all time, because the pickpocketing is like sharks in bloody water. It is not your parents' Europe for a number of reasons. The jihadist extremism is choking the life out of that magnificent continent. And so with the evacuation of the Eiffel Tower, just an opportunity to, and of course, who can get on a plane and go there now anyway, but if hopefully, and by the way, you know what, doggone it, I'm going to go another 60 seconds. You know one reason why we just absolutely love Italy? Because Italy doesn't put up with this crap. France, Germany, the UK, all wonderful, wonderful countries. Scandinavia, just fantastic history, culture, and it's being eaten alive by waves of migrating jihadists. And even the ones who are not jihadists, you know, the sounds, it was John Cleese of Monty Python fame who said, London is not a British city anymore. You're walking around, you get a goat slaughtered at a halal market. It's not a British city anymore. And by the way, elements of multiculturalism and a neighborhood here and a person there and a, you know, et cetera, that's part of the charm of any city in America or Europe. But it is not a peaceful coexistence. Let me tell you a little something about Italy. You know why stuff ain't blowing up in Rome and Venice and in Florence? Because Italy kind of has a vibe. It says, hey, we're all Italian, we're all Catholic, deal with it. And if you can't, turn your butt around and go back home. I love that. Now, I know, oh, you want America to be like that? America's different, and America's greatness is that everybody's from everywhere else, which is so great as a concept and so much a part of our rich history and our wonderfulness. But gone are the days when you can expect all these arrivals, all these folks, all these refugees, all these illegal immigrants, all these folks who just want to just get in here and just suck off the American teat. It's not about love of country as much anymore. It's not about adapting to our culture as much anymore. It's, I mean, Italy says, guess what? You can move here, but you, guess what? We're all Italian, and we're all Catholic, all of us. Deal with it. We're not going to have, you know, 27% of the country, you know, there's going to be anything else, or we're not going to have all, and we sure as shooting aren't going to let you in to blow up our stuff. That's why we love Italy. Anyway, look forward to going back at some point. Heck, I look forward to getting on a plane, you know, to go to Galveston just, you know, before you get to Rome. Alrighty, listen, and where did that get us? Speaking of Catholicism, get ready for an enormous amount of bigotry and hatred shown toward the Catholicism of either Amy Coney Barrett or Barbara Lagoa. Oh, and by the way, whatever flavor of Christianity you happen to, the Catholicism takes on a particular dark specter to the left because of the Catholic Church's it's kind of funny. I mean, find me an evangelical Christian. Find me any what stretch of Christianity? Well, I guess I don't know. Crazy Episcopals and Methodists, I guess, and I say that with all love, that may not be as pro-life as some other denominations. But Catholicism is identifiably and singularly pro-life, and that is that just doesn't fly to the modern left. So get ready. If it is Amy Coney Barrett or Barbara Lagoa, they are going to be tormented. They are going to be persecuted. They are going to be, their reputations will be destroyed, but Brett Kavanaugh's wasn't. They tried and failed, but it's going to be unbelievably ugly. And any of you think that the left will restrain itself because these are women? Oh yeah. Like they really ease up on Clarence Thomas and Larry Elder and Alan West because they're black. Oh, yeah, because, and by the way, this makes my point for the 153rd time. It ain't about sex and it ain't about race. None of this is anymore. It's about politics. The left hates conservative blacks and the left hates conservative women. So boom, guess what? It ain't about womanhood. It ain't about race. It ain't about pigment or plumbing, as I say. It's about politics, which, by the way, is good. That actually is better than having big disagreements over things that are, you know, irrelevant, like what gender you are and what race you are. In every, you could just about see the black armbands. They know it's coming, and they know there is literally nothing they can do to stop it. So just check the word choice.
Warning to you, know, this is moving at lightning speed.
It's moving at lightning speed, like an asteroid hurtling toward the Earth. It's moving at lightning speed.
Now, and you said that the president plans to name this pick as soon as Saturday, and it appears he already has the votes lined up in his party to move this forward.
Yes, he does. It appears he already has the votes. Will the Republic survive? He has the votes.
Overnight in Pittsburgh, President Trump using the Supreme Court vacancy left by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death to rally his base.
The chants, C-H-A-N-T-S, that you hear are 4 more years, of course. And fill that seat, fill that seat.
I will soon be announcing that nominee. You're going to love it. You're going to be so happy. If you don't love it, don't vote for me.
The president feeling confident as Republicans now appear all but certain to vote on his nominee before the election, hoping to lock in a conservative majority on the nation's highest court.
They will set policy for 50 years. They'll set policy, whether it's life, whether it's Second Amendment, two great Supreme Court judges or justices, and now we're going to get a third.
Real quick. This is important because a lot of the words mean things. This is the words mean things talk show. A lot of references made to these justices being conservative and that it will mean important things for the abortion issue, for Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. This is the most important thing you will hear me say ever about any of these justices. This is not about their personal conservatism. The really sad and unfortunate thing is it seems that only conservatives care about the Constitution anymore. Because none of this is about a judge being conservative. None of this is about a judge being a big Second Amendment person. None of this is about a judge being a big pro-lifer. None of that matters. Not one bit. Not one iota. Not one molecule. Judges, justices are not supposed to bring their personal beliefs, their personal politics, their personal faith onto the bench. What they bring is an eye for what is constitutional. And a ruling that favors the Second Amendment is not issued because the justices like guns or it's because the Second Amendment is there and it exists and it deserves to be respected. And here's the most important part of the most important part. If it becomes Justice Amy Coney Barrett or Justice Barbara Lagoa, and she winds up being part of a vote that overturns Roe v. Wade, it will not. It will not be because she is pro-life. It will not be because she is Catholic. It'll be because she has the eyes to see and the mind to understand that there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. That Roe v. Wade was fictionally and fraudulently found in 1973, and that must be overturned, not because I'm pro-life or because of my feelings about abortion, but because of the constitutional fact that there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. Now, once I finish with this piece by Cecilia Vega, we'll get down to the bottom of the hour, swing through that. All your calls are welcome, 866-660-5759. You will hear, shocker, keep the car on the road, you'll hear someone on CNN flat out lie. And it's a woman who's a pretty good anchor, Allison Camerota. She didn't spend her days annoying me most days. But just flat out lies that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, bah, there's your national abortion ban. What? No, it's not. Roe v. Wade could be overturned tomorrow. And then what happens is Texas has its own abortion law. So does Massachusetts. And I assume California abortion law would remain as ghoulish and permissive as it is now. That is the Ninth and Tenth Amendment at work. When the Constitution doesn't mention something like, oh, I don't know, abortion, and while we're at it, gay marriage, it is left to the states. That's what honors the Constitution. Anything that diverts from that doesn't.
Capitol Hill, the last potential Republican swing vote, Mitt Romney, announcing he supports moving ahead to fill the seat.
Do tell.
Recognize that we may have a court which has more of a conservative bent than it's had over the last few decades. But my liberal friends have, over many decades, gotten very used to the idea of having a liberal court. And that's not written in the stars.
No Supreme Court nominee.
Boy, let's just pause. That was great from Mitt Romney. And when's the last time I said that? And I'll just add one more thing. It is a signal. It is evidence of how unreliable and sometimes outright treacherous Mitt Romney has been. It is a signal of that, that everybody is dancing in the streets and kissing his feet because for these 10 minutes, he's actually doing his job.
History has been considered so close to a presidential election, and that has Democrats now hurling charges of hypocrisy after Republicans refused to even consider President Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland, 8 months before the election in 2016.
That's because he was a Democrat and the Republicans controlled the Senate. If the coins were flipped, the exact same thing would be happening. If the Democrats had controlled the Senate, Merrick Garland would be on the Supreme Court right now. This is not hard, Cecilia. This is not hard. If you got a president and a Senate of the same party, you're going to get a Supreme Court nomination that happens. If the president and the Senate are of opposite parties, bam, it ain't going anywhere. It is that simple.
Republican majority will have stolen two Supreme Court seats.
Stolen.
4 years apart. Using completely contradictory rationales.
Wrong.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who said this 4 years ago.
The American people are perfectly capable of having their say on this issue.
And by the way, that was because also in 2016, we were guaranteed a new president. Guaranteed a new president, which is an additional plank of logic to letting the nomination go. If you have a first-term Obama, a first-term Trump, and a Senate of the same party, of course you proceed with a nomination. That's what the president's there to do. That's what the Senate of the same party is there to do.
So let's give them a voice.
Now, insists this time is different.
It is different.
Because the same party controls both the Senate and the White House.
Thank you.
I can only repeat that we have an obligation under the Constitution, should we choose to take advantage of it, to fill the vacancy, and I assure you that's very likely to happen.
At the top of President Trump's list, Federal Appeals Court Judge Amy Coney Barrett, a devout Catholic who has strong support among religious conservatives and anti-abortion activists.
Devout Catholic. They say it, and it drips. It drips with disapproval.
Also under consideration, U.S. Circuit Judge Barbara Lagoa, a Cuban-American whom Republicans hope could help the president win Latino voters in the battleground of Florida.
All righty, there we are. Ha. All righty, your thoughts. 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 827. Oh, you're going to get some Ray Charles. I got a woman from 1954. Matter of fact, you're going to get the Ray Charles double shot. We're going to send things in for Gordon Griffin in the newsroom and then come back out. And the next thing I've got for you, we're going to go to your calls, 866-660-5759. And moderator Chris Wallace, I know that's probably more good than bad, but you never know, has shared what his topics are. So what will the areas be that are covered in the first presidential debate a week from yesterday, 6 days from now? Well, I'll run those down for you, and we'll evaluate a little on the fly how we think those are going to go. Right now, let's see how things are going in the news. It's 8:34. Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Mark Davis, 660 AM. It's Ray Charles' birthday.
Don't deceive me.
And I'm digging deep.
Please don't leave.
1956.
Me. What would I do without you?
What would I do without you?
To see me through.
Ray, born 90 years ago today, Albany, Georgia.
If you leave.
866-660-5759. enjoying the Ray Charles catalog and a few other chosen things. Looking at the topics we have chosen, I'm going to take a look. Speaking of choosing topics, I do it every day and with a lot of help from you, telling you can bring me anything you like. It falls to moderator Chris Wallace, who has released what his chosen topics will be, the things to place before President Trump and Joe Biden on Tuesday night of next week. And again, keep your pre-debate slate open, because my friends at the Institute for Policy Innovation at IPI, we're doing a big, it's essentially a massive Zoom meeting that you can be a part of. And it's me, Tom Giovanetti, Matt Mikoviak, Wade Emmert, and we're going to do a little like pregame show, and we'll do it all right there in the comfort of your chosen device, starting at something like 6-ish or something like that. I'll get back with you on more details of that. Just block off some time at home, make yourself some fresh guacamole, and just get ready to chow down on our pre-debate thoughts before the debate, which is Tuesday night of next week. So I'll give you what those topics will be here in a second, but let's see what folks are bringing us on the phones. 866-660-5759. We're in Grapevine. Hey, Brian, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, sir, and thank you and love your show.
Thank you.
I have a lot of discussions in my neighborhood with my Trump flags hang and their Biden flag. Signs are out.
Yes.
They're trying to use lame duck, and I don't know exactly, but I think a lot of people think Trump's a lame duck, and I don't think it fits.
Well, no, but by definition, get with your friends and very lovingly tell them that lame duck doesn't mean a president whom you think is about to lose. A lame duck means someone who's term limited. Barack Obama in 2016 was a lame duck. Donald Trump in 2024 will be a lame duck. That's the definition of the word. And by the way, and if that's ever the case, and especially if the president and senator are different parties, that's an extra argument for letting it go to the election, because you know you're going to get a new president. That is certainly not the case this year.
Thank you very much. I just thought more people might need to hear that. Let's go get them.
let's do go get them. And you know something? In the spirit of that, there are just so many. A lot of politics is complex. A lot of the news is complex. Some things are not. Some things are made complicated by stupid people. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Some things are made complicated. I mean, here, you know what? Here, let me do that. Well, let me talk to Stephen Coppell. And then I really want you to hear Allison Camerota of CNN just scare the living daylights out of people on purpose with the lie that overturning Roe v. Wade will mean that that abortion is suddenly banned in America. Not the case. We're in Coppell. Steve, hi. Welcome, sir. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
I've got the plan to blow up liberals' heads.
Yes, I'm all ears.
Clarence Thomas is 72 years old. Have him retire.
Ooh.
And then Trump gets to put in two of his top choices.
One for this vacancy and one for the Clarence Thomas vacancy. Well, I know where you're headed. And a lot of people are going, wait a minute, we love Clarence Thomas. No, don't do that.
I love Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas is 72.
He's 72.
And if he wants to, he and Ginny want to enjoy a wonderful, blissful retirement. Here's an opportunity for President Trump to go pick somebody who, I don't know, 40 years old or so, and have another justice that's going to be around for half a century.
Bingo.
Man, that's powerful. That is powerful stuff. Okay, Steve, thank you. All right, wow. Now, all right. How? Justice Thomas, by all reports, seems to be vibrant and healthy. So you want to roll the dice with, not this election. Everybody's head would explode if Clarence Thomas retires, tomorrow. So rather than drive everybody crazy, why don't we cross our fingers, pray hard, work hard, get that second Trump term going, and let Justice Thomas retire there during the second Trump term. Maybe toward the end of it. I want as much Clarence Thomas as I can get. And you know what? Every time I think of Justice Thomas, I am taken back and taken aback to that almost 30 years ago high-tech lynching, his words, and totally true, that he went through by daring to be not just a conservative, but a black conservative. I got that audio lying around. Let me bump that up against the savaging of Robert Bork by Ted Kennedy in 1987. Oh, yeah. All right. That's a lot of audio. I'm promising a lot of stuff here. Let me start to deliver on those promises. Here is Allison Camerata, and she is in the company of that snake, Jeffrey Toobin. And just enjoy this. And by the way, Allison Camerata is not a stupid. I said it was stupidity. This is not stupidity. This is treachery. She absolutely knows better. I believe she knows better. I have two choices here in view of what you're about to hear Allison Camerata of CNN say. Either she is dumb as a mud fence or she's lying on purpose. And I don't think she's dumb.
I think one of the interesting discussions about abortion is that the country is generally divided. I mean, almost split right in half about how they view it. However, in the latest Gallup polls, 20% of the country, only 20% of the country wants to outlaw it. Okay, so you can feel differently about the different nuances of it, but only 20% wants to outlaw it.
First of all, I don't believe that, but let's wait for the lie.
And that's ultimately, you know, obviously what would happen if Roe versus Wade were done away with.
Stop. Full stop, as the tiresome cliche goes. This is Allison Camerata, who wants America to believe that the moment Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortion becomes illegal in America. It's an attempt to make the whatever percentage of America is in favor of abortion rights to fire them up and get them even more activist in their opposition. When let's say you are pro-choice in California, let's say you are pro-choice in New York, your state will not change at all when Roe v. Wade is overturned. If you're pro-life in Alabama, it will. One presumes if you're pro-life in Texas. And by that, obviously, the law changes for everybody, but I mean, it'll change into what you want, what you've always wanted. So for the uninitiated or for the occasional CNN anchor who needs this briefing, when Roe v. Wade is overturned, you will not have a national abortion ban. When Roe v. Wade is overturned, as the Constitution requires, an issue that is not dealt with in its pages at all, in the Constitution at all, will be left to the states. Liberal states with liberal voters and liberal legislatures will maintain their ghoulishly permissive abortion laws. States filled with people who value the life of the unborn will be able to have whatever restrictive abortion laws they wish. But let's see how this this sinister segment rolled out a little further.
And so it's just interesting. I mean, obviously, we're segueing into a political stance here.
No kidding.
If the country does, you know, would support the direction that this is going in.
Well, this is why when Republican presidents nominate justices to the court, they try to pretend that it's some mystery what their views are about Roe versus Wade, because they know the country is against them on this issue.
I want to tell you, I think I've told this story before. One of the great joys of my life has been to walk into a big amphitheater classroom at UTA, University of Texas at Arlington, and speak to classes taught by my wonderful, wonderful friend, Alan Sachs. And when I go in there, anything can happen because it's a room full of students and it's taught by Alan and I'm the guest. So, woohoo, the rodeo is on. And that is the thrill. It's great. So it's basically a room full of students. Most of whom, I mean, some of whom are conservative, but most of maybe a little more conservative than the average room full of students, but it's still a room probably dominated by liberal thought. And we have this honest, wonderful give and take about all kinds of things, about borders, about taxes, about the Constitution. And I think on more than a couple of occasions, I have gladly informed a room full of students, the ones who happen to be pro-choice, of this fact that I'm telling you now. That overturning Roe versus Wade does not mean that abortion's illegal everywhere. And it's funny, I put it to them in terms of fairness. I say, listen, abortion's not in the Constitution. That's just a fact. It's not. Roe v. Wade is fiction. That's why it's got to be overturned. Not because I'm pro-life or anybody's pro-life. Not at all. Not because of how anybody feels about abortion. Roe v. Wade needs to be overturned because it is unconstitutional. It made stuff up, and you can't make stuff up. So when that happens, when that wonderful day arrives, every state, the abortion battle will then go from the steps of the Supreme Court or the steps of the Capitol. It'll go to all 50 state capitals, as it should. And in Austin, and in Sacramento, and in Albany, New York, and in Atlanta, and in Tallahassee, Florida, and in, you know, the various state capitals, including the one that nobody knows, Jefferson City, Missouri. A state capital where people don't even know the town exists. Thought it was St. Louis. No, it's not. Anyway, the point being that it'll be up to the people of the states to determine what the abortion laws are in their state. I said, what could be more fair? And some of the radical pro-choice kids didn't like that because they think abortion's a basic right. Guess what? It's not. And that's when I delivered to them one of the truest things I'll ever say to anybody. Something does not become a fundamental right just because you are passionate about it. Got it? Something does not become a fundamental right just because you are passionate about it. I'm passionate about the right to own a gun to defend myself in my home. Is it a basic right because I really like it? Nope, it's a basic right because it's in the Constitution. How about that? I believe strongly in my right to worship as I please. Is it because I want to worship as I please that it's a basic right? Nope, it's because it's in the Constitution, First Amendment. Needless to say, free speech means a little something to me. I'm passionate about it. Is that what makes it a basic right? Nope. It's a basic right because it's in the Constitution. You may think somebody has a basic right to terminate a pregnancy. Nope, because it's not in the Constitution. Now, once Roe v. Wade is removed, then state by state, you can slog things out the way the Constitution requires in the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. If it ain't in here, it's up to y'all, is essentially what the Founding Fathers said, updated a little. 853, Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer. Actually, the battle cry is no surrender. But for Robin Zander, Rick Nielsen, and the boys of Cheap Trick, they get to take us out, 866-660-5759, and into the 9 o'clock hour. Well, we'll give you those topics for the debate on Tuesday night. Some more of your calls. Get ready to be on the air here at 866-660-5759. And the Fort Worth ISD meeting till 3 o'clock in the morning on the decision of more online school or not. We'll get into that as well. It'll be a hot, happening final hour of broadcasting for us before we hand things over to Mike Gallagher. It is 660 AM, The Answer on a Wednesday. I'm Mark Davis. Morning.